blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you. From God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 10, stanzas 1 and 2. In the fullness of thy grace to thy house I will repair, bowing toward thy holy place, in thy fear will worship there. Lead me in thy righteousness, let my foes assail in vain, lest my feet be turned aside. Make thy way before me plain. Stanzas 1 and 2 of Psalter number 10.
Speak all their thoughts.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the book of Acts, the 5th chapter, and thereof the first 16 verses. Acts 5, verses 1 through 16. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, and thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, and nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young man arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, "Tell me, whether ye sold the land for so much?" And she said, "Yea, for so much." Then Peter said unto her, "How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out." And then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, Thou who art holy, Thou who art omniscient, all-knowing, and also all-powerful, and whose might, holiness, justice, and righteousness will also one day be experienced by us and this whole world, when we will stand before Thee in the day of our death, and when we will stand before Thee also with our bodies in that great and terrible day. Oh, give us a little impression in this morning hour, when we have read of Thy awful righteousness out of Thy holy word. Oh, that we might learn to stand in awe of Thee, when not one of us is able to stand before Thee without guilt and without sin. Oh, give to us then a holy awe, when we come up unto Thy house of prayer, and when we attempt to draw nigh unto Thee, who are so full of iniquity, within and without, whose heart is an open sepulchre, in the sight of that all-knowing God. O Lord, deal not with us as we so justly deserve, but look upon us this day in Thy mercy. Oh, we have also read of those who were brought to Thy servants. They were full of the effects of sin. They were full of sin itself. And Thou didst heal them, we read, every one, by the hand of Thy servants. And it is the time, it is the administration of that covenant in which we live also with our dear children. wherein thy Spirit went out in such a great and rich measure, as so that multitudes were added. O Lord, we beseech thee, that thou mayst show forth that same Spirit also in this our day with our dear children, when not one of us can bring before thee a reason in ourself, but Lord, they were all also a wretched and miserable people, even as we are. Oh, they were sick and afflicted because of sin. Oh, give that in our heart may be a burden, that we do not live according to our purpose, and that we have left thee days without number. Lord, thou can give it in our heart in one moment, when in our heart is nothing but a desire after the world by nature. Thou in one moment can speak. Oh, thou can say unto us, unto those that are dead, that are lying polluted in their own blood, cast out in the open field, unto those who cannot have one true cry and one true desire after the living God. Oh, thou canst say unto such ones, live. And Lord, one word that is spoken by thy power from that place where thou dost sit on the right hand of power. Oh, one word in our life, in our hearts, and we also will receive the experience that was known as so many years ago. Oh, then the power of thy Spirit would be experienced in our own soul. It would be experienced here in the midst of us as a congregation. And Lord, what a wonder. And when also we may be struck with wonder at all of thy deeds, when it may be said, this one or that one is born in Zion. Oh, Lord, may it be also in the midst of us. We don't deserve it. Oh, our sins, they testify against us. And we give, we make that they rise up day by day as a mountain of guilt, and it puts us further and further away from thee. But, Lord, take reasons out of thyself. Oh, hast thou not done it so freely, even from that never begun eternity, when thou hast elected a people, when thou hast chosen them, and when thou in the time wilt certainly call them by their name. Oh, do it, Lord, and take reasons out of thyself, out of thy holiness, out of thy goodness, out of the merits of thy dear Son, who has done everything that thou didst require of him. Oh, didst thou not promise unto him a seed that would serve thee? Lord, may it also be that it is coming from the midst of us and of our dear children. Wilt thou look upon thy own church? Oh, give them also in this day a longing. Oh, their heart, that is such a double heart. It is a heart that has so much desire after this world. Lord, that is the burden of that heart, because there is also in that heart a love for thee. But it can be so overrun with all the sin and the iniquity and the love, therefore, oh, that thou may look upon them, and may thou revive thy own work in the midst of the years. And wilt thou give that in this day thy Spirit may draw thy people again by renewal. Oh, that they may be given open eyes for another time. And that sin may become sin in their life. And that thy dear and beloved Son, who was so pleased to pour out his own blood, and to give himself even unto death for such wretched and miserable creatures, Lord, that he may become so precious to them again by renewal. Oh, open unto those who cannot see the way. Open unto them that way that thou hast made. Oh, say to them, tell them, Lord, this day,
I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. O Lord, all that come unto thee, they are drawn also unto the Father. Oh, that thou may give, that those that desire to return unto their Maker and may be given a little eye to see that blessed Mediator who is standing in the breaches for that people, who have so made a deep gulf that no man can bridge it over. All those that feel it, those that experience it, they can be so despondent. They can fear that it can never be. But Lord, open to them. Oh, show to them that thou dost stand in that breach and that thou hast made it well, so that there is a level path between God and their soul, and that thou hast cast all their sins behind thy back. Oh, what a wonder. Lord, shall they not glorify thee then? Oh, shall they not magnify thy name this day, when thou would open it unto them? Oh, glorify thyself, and look upon all the distressed ones. Be with all widows, widowers, and orphans, and all those that have afflictions in this life, those that go over this world alone, those that are sorrowing over the loss of their loved ones. Lord, be with all those that are divorced, that are separated from their spouses, and that live with that burden. Those that have no children, remember those who have left our own churches, the children of many in our midst. Lord, wilt thou give a true cry to thee? Oh, then we sometimes cannot speak unto our own children, but Lord, thou can reach them in the places where they are, and thou can bring them again. Oh, give unto us then to storm thy throne of grace, and wilt thou cause that there may be a returning again, a weeping and a supplication at thy throne of grace. Wilt thou look upon us as a consistory? Wilt thou help us in all the labors of our hands? Oh, that thou may go with us in all of our work from day to day and from week to week. May thou bless our work in the midst of this flock over which thou hast made us overseers. And Lord, we need to be made faithful. We need to be given diligence every day again. Oh, we need to be given love for the souls of this people. We need to be upright with them. Oh, that thou may help us therein. And may thou give thy blessing upon it. Oh, be with thy servants over the length and breadth of this whole world. Also this day, it is thy day. It is that day wherein thou dost send them forth, and wherein thou dost command them to bring thy word to young and old, to converted and unconverted, all those that will come up unto thy house. Oh, that thou may give, that there also may be experience that thou art nearby, that thy power is great, and that it doesn't need to come from us, but that thou wilt do it for thy own sake, and that thou wilt not look upon all our own shortcomings and sins, but that thou wilt take reasons out of thyself, and that thou wilt glorify thy name above all thy word, even in the days in which we live with our children. Help us. Then also in this day, Lord, we stand once again at the beginning of a Sabbath day. Oh, it may be by times our delight and our joy. And Lord, oh, that thou may give, that in this day it may become an easy task. Oh, that thou may fill us with thy Holy Spirit. Oh, that thou would take away in body and mind and soul all that can stand between, for the speaking and in the listening. And wilt thou give that the buyers and the sellers may be put out of thy house, and that thy name may be glorified. Lord, forgive and take away and keep us on every side from all our sins. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 21, stanzas 1 through 4. O Lord, be thou my helper true, for just and godly men are few, the faithful who can find from truth and wisdom men depart, with flattering lips and double heart, they speak their evil mind. We announced that the last collection today is for the Blue Book sermons, and also that there will be, the Lord willing, a consistory meeting on Tuesday evening, June 12th, at 7:30 p.m. Psalter number 21, all stanzas.
Congregation, in the days of the prophets, we read that the Lord had a controversy with his people. And what was that controversy which he had with his people? In Hosea 4, verse 1, we read, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land." Therefore, he had a controversy. For what reason? The first reason, that is, because there was no truth. The lack of truth. Boys and girls, you know what a bow is, a bow and arrow. In order to shoot the bow and arrow, you must do what with the bow? You must pull it back. You must put strength to it. You must bend the bow. That is not always so easy. But listen to what the Lord says of his people in the Old Testament, that is his own people Israel. He says, they bend their tongues. They bend their tongues like their bow for lies. But they are not valiant for the truth upon earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Congregation, how is that in our land, here in Canada, concerning truth? How is that in our own denomination? How is it in our own congregation, in our own families? How is that in our own life? How is that in our own heart, concerning truth? That is what we wish to consider together in this morning with the Lord's help out of the words of our text, which you can find in that portion that was read to you, Acts 5, thereof the last part of the fourth verse. Acts 5, verse 4, the last part, these words, "Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." So far, the words of our text. The lie of Ananias and Sapphira, first, to whom this lie was. Second, what this lie was. Third, the seriousness of this lie. The lie of Ananias and Sapphira, first, to whom this lie was. Second, what this lie was. Third, the seriousness of this lie. Thou hast not lied unto men. Is that actually so? Thou hast not lied unto men. Is that really so, boys and girls, that Ananias did not lie unto men? You say he did lie unto men. He did lie to Peter. And yet the Bible says, thou hast not lied unto men. How is that? Well, we cannot just then take those words in a literal way, can we? No, then we have to take those words in what their meaning is in their context. Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Then what does he say? He says that your lie that was not just to men, or the greatest part of your sin, that was not your lie unto men, but the greatest part that was that it was a lie unto God. Thou hast not lied unto men, But unto God, it is not possible that we lie to men without lying to God. And why not? Because everything that we do before men and unto men, that is also in the light of the countenance of God. And now we read here about the speaking of the truth. And for what reason is man obliged to tell the truth? For what reason? Well, some say because the truth is expected from one another. That when we speak to one another, then we expect to hear the truth, especially when we are making some kind of a contract with one another. We cannot imagine then what a chaos that this world would be in when the lie would domineer over the truth in this world. Thus they say, because that is the most useful, that is the most that is the most expedient for us as human beings and creatures in this world. And although, of course, all of these things are true, this is not the ground, this is not the end reason that man is obligated to the truth. If that were so, then those lies which are seemingly harmless in our life, then those lies are not sinful. There is a word, congregation, that is not very well known by us in the English language, and that is a word that ought to be known. That word is veracity. Veracity. What does that word veracity mean? That word means truthfulness. Truthfulness. And it does not speak merely about truth-telling, about speaking the truth, but it is speaking about more. Truthfulness, that means to be full of a truth. That means that truth must not come only out of our mouth, but that truth that has to live within our heart. Veracity, that means that it speaks not only about the practice of our daily life, but it speaks about the disposition of our heart, the active disposition, the active bent of the will of man. Thus, man is bound to love the truth. And why is he bound to love the truth? Not only because it is the most expedient thing in this world, but he is bound to love the truth because of that truth itself. Then he ought to desire the truth, because truth that is of God. Thus man is not only bound to truth-telling, but man is bound to a mental honesty. What did David say? Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He says, that walketh uprightly, he that worketh righteousness, and he that speaketh the truth, where? Not out of his mouth, but he that speaketh the truth here in his heart. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Where, congregation, from where does the lie proceed? The lie proceeds from the devil. We read that here in the words of Peter, Peter says, "Why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" The devil is the father of the lie. What did the Lord Jesus say to the Pharisees? "Ye are of your father the devil. And the lust," he said, "of your father ye will do." He was the murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth. Why not? Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh, he says he speaketh of his own, because he is a liar and the father of it. The father, what does a father do? He begets. He begets children. So what are the children of the devil? Lies. And liars. And what do we read in the Word of God about himself, about God himself? Then we read that he is the opposite. Then we read that he is a God of truth, and he is without iniquity. That is already God the Father, but not only God the Father, but the whole Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What did the Lord Jesus say? "To this end was I born, and for this purpose came I into the world, that is to bear witness unto the truth." Everyone who is of the truth heareth my voice. Thus, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, how often do we not read of him that he is called the Spirit of Truth? Thus, what a great contrast. A great contrast between God and Satan. That is the contrast between the truth and the lie. And now that great contrast that becomes evident also in this world. The contrast between God and Satan that becomes evident even in the life of men. How does that become evident? That becomes evident in the day of regeneration. That becomes evident in that day when the Lord is robbing hell of its subjects. Why? Because in that day, a man is made upright. In that day, a man goes from living the lie to living the truth. By nature, congregation, we live the lie. We are so willing to deceive ourselves. Deception of our own soul. As we are traveling to a great eternity, do you know what we want? We want to be comfortable. Now, today, we don't want to be fearful. We don't want to have anxiety, and so we are willing to lie to ourselves, to deceive ourselves, to rest, to go to sleep when it is not well between God and our soul. And what happens in that day of that new birth? Then we become honest. Then we become honest before God. We become honest before other men. We become honest with our own soul. Then we begin to pray. What did the psalmist begin to pray? He says, "Lord, lead me into thy truth. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me." What did the Lord Jesus say? He that cometh to the light. He is the one who is honest. And why does he come to that light? So that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. What happened to that woman with that issue of blood? What do we read? She fell down before the Lord Jesus, and we read she told him all the truth. Did that ever happen in your life? Here we have the character. Here we have a mark of that true work of God. What did the Lord Jesus say to that Samaritan woman? He says that the time is coming, and that time is now, when men shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, because the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and God must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. All lies to men are also lies to God, but there are some lies that are more evidently, there are some lies that are more directly before the face of God than other lies. We think of a vow, the breaking of a vow. When a vow has been made, calling upon the name of the Lord, when a vow that has been made directly and intentionally in the sight of God, then to break that vow that is a lie, that is very evidently before that face of God. We think of a lie in the court, when we have laid our hand upon that word of God, and when we have called God to be our witness, that we are going to speak the truth and nothing but the truth and the whole truth. Then our lies, they come more evidently before that face of God. What are our actions? What is living in our heart? Now, what do we read here? We read here that Ananias and Sapphira have come before God's servants. They have come before office bearers in the church. Those who are chosen by God. And they have lied to Peter. They have lied to these office bearers. That is a lie that comes more directly before the face of God. Why? Because it is his own institution. An institution which he has given. An institution which he is upholding, which he is blessing in his church. How is that also in our life? When we go congregation for house visitation, how is that? And when we are sitting before you and we are asking you, is there a television in your home? How is that? And you say, no. When there is one that is hidden. Or when you know that there is a card in your computer that has a television capability. And you say, no. We are no detectives. We will take your word. We are not the police, but you are the responsible ones. Only, please remember, then thou hast not lied unto men, but then thou hast lied unto God. We want to see in our second thought what this lie was. Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea. For so much
was a lie. It was not the truth. They did not sell it for so much. No, they sold it for more. And they have kept back part of that price. What was their motive? Why did they do this? Was it because of covetousness? We cannot tell you that. We don't know that. Maybe they had some need. Maybe there was some burden. Maybe there was in their life some debt that they needed this money. Is that then a sin? That they had kept back part of the price of the land? That they had paid their debt and the rest they had given over to the church of God? No, that was no sin. And what does Peter say? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? No, they had no obligation. They had no obligation to give this money to the church. They had no obligation to give this money to the poor. That is a proof that those who say that we ought to live in the community of goods, everyone sharing their goods, because that is the way that the beginning of the church was, that is false, because that is not the way that it was. No, that was done in a time of special need. But Peter says here very evidently that everybody's property that remained their own, it was in his own power. What was their motive? Well, they desired, congregation, something of the esteem and the honor from men. We are a very generous people. We have sold this land and we are giving all this money unto the church. Then they desired that within the church they might have a name for themselves because of their alms. That is why we read in the Bible, when we are giving our alms, we should not know what our left hand should not know what our right hand is doing, that it may be secret, that it may be only before God, and God who seeth in secret, he shall reward thee openly. Not only so, but Ananias and Sapphira, we read, they have conspired together to do this sin. And that conspiracy, the speaking together that they are going to lie, and that is an aggravation of this lie. It was a premeditated sin. Not done in the spur of the moment, no, but done with a direct intention. Oh, Ananias, will you so lead your wife? Oh, Sapphira, will you not be a true help to your husband? To say, no, don't do it. No, that is a lie. No, that is a sin. To be a true hand and a foot to one another. No, they have conspired together to do this thing. That was, congregation, the lie of Ananias and Sapphira. But what is our lie? Do we live with the lie in our heart? Do we live with a heart that lacks veracity, a heart that lacks truthfulness? That is the fountain for everything that is coming forth out of our mouth in all our communications. How often then do we not have the lie in our thoughts? We say, well, if this happens, then I will say that. And if that happens, then I will say this. And then I will change the story and I will change the truth a little bit because of these circumstances for my advantage. God is a God of truth. That is perfect, absolute truth. And then we are to imitate him in this attribute of his. Do we live not only with a lie in our heart, in our mind, but do we also then speak that lie, that lie is coming out of our mouth? Then we have an obligation before God and unto every man, and that we think and we speak truth. That is expected in every communication with our fellow man. There should never have to be someone who is questioning our veracity, someone who is questioning our truthfulness. The very mind of man that is valuing truth. Why does it value truth? Because we know in our own consciousness that only truth that is the source of true knowledge. We were not created liars. No, we were created in the image of God. And we had in our heart an inward propensity and bent unto the truth. But we have chosen a different way. And what was that way that we have chosen? That is the way of the liar from the beginning. And we are ready to violate truth with the very smallest temptation that comes in our life. A little fear, a little honor for ourselves, a little esteem before men, a little bit of an embarrassment, and we are ready to violate truth. But that violation of truth and of veracity, that is done in more ways than one, more than just outward lies. It is possible to use words, congregation, in a sense that our hearers are not actually expecting that these words should be used, that we use the words in a very subtle way, and therefore we may console ourselves that we are actually speaking truth, but our neighbor, he is deceived, and it is no truthfulness. John says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Thus, what does the Lord say is a lie? That is a hypocritical speaking. If we say we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, then we lie and we do not the truth. It is hypocrisy. Or do we say and do not? He that says, I love God and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and his truth is not in him. We lie, congregation, when we deny what we truly know, even when it is in the way of putting ourselves down. Listen, the Lord Jesus, he said to the Pharisees, ye have not known the Father, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I would be a liar like unto you. It is possible that we lie even without speaking. It is possible to lie with our silence, or with our gestures. and the implications which our silence and our gestures are making to our neighbor. We have an obligation to truth, not only with what comes out of our mouth, but with what does not come out of our mouth. Not only with what we do, but also with those things that we do not do. It is also possible to speak right words, true words, but have a false spirit, that same spirit of the father of lies. Because it is possible that we ruin, degrade the name, the good name of our neighbor by telling the truth about him when it is not a good truth. Still, it may be a right truth, but it is not a truth that we ought to be speaking about to our neighbor, because we then have that same spirit of that father of lies. It's possible that we even think that we are speaking the truth, but we are not. When we are too rash, then we are very emotionally involved. And when we say, repeat things without knowing actually what that truth is, and we think that we speak the truth, but it is not the truth. Do you know what the scriptures say? It is that we are liars when we listen to lies. Solomon says, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Congregation, are we true enough? Are we true enough to rebuke false lips and a naughty tongue? How little truth there is often in the gossip of men. We went a week or so ago to the library, and we have seen there rows and rows and rows of videos and DVDs, movies, plays, drama. Drama, congregation, that is nothing short of a lie. When I put off my own character and I take on so completely the thoughts, the character, the heart, the thinking of another person, that is, the best actors according to this world are actually the best liars. John says, I have not written unto you because you don't know the truth. He says, I have written unto you because you know the truth. And that no lie is of the truth. Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Young people, you come home. Your father says, where were you? I was by my friend's house, and the rest you hide. The rest you do not tell. Is that a lie? Yes. Why is that a lie? Because you do not tell the whole truth. Say, am I obliged to tell the whole truth? Are we always obliged to tell everything? No, not always. But to your parents who have a right and an authority over you, then you are obliged to tell everything. That is the whole truth. That is also when you stand before a judge. That is also, for example, when you are speaking to your employer about his time in which he has hired and paid you. Then you are obliged to tell everything. Must your parents tell you everything? No. They are not obliged to tell you everything. No, you have no right to know everything from your parents. Must Samuel tell King Saul that he is going to anoint David to be a king over Israel? No. Why not? Because there is a higher authority, and the higher authority said to him, do not say that. The Saul, in his wickedness, had no right to this information. But then, was Abraham obligated to tell Abimelech that Sarah was his wife? Yes. And why? Because Abimelech had a right to this information that he may be kept from those ways of sin. Now, we are not obliged to tell everyone everything, but sometimes we are. And certainly when we speak, then out of our mouth that ought to come only truth. And nor may we suggest a falsehood by our silence. What do you think? Do you think that Rahab then may tell these men that she did not have these spies in her house? May she do that for their protection? That is a very difficult question. We do not read that the Lord has rebuked her, and she is one of the heroes of faith. But what was her motive? We cannot believe that this was out of a strength of faith, but out of the wretched weakness of faith and of unbelief. That the Lord could do it in no other way but than through her lies. May I then deceive a person? Not tell him a lie, but may I then deceive a person who is going to try to do me harm, who is going to try to hurt me? May I then deceive him to protect myself, to defend myself? I read that in the Bible, that Elisha, he deceived the Syrians. And not only did he deceive the Syrians, but the Lord helped him. Because he asked the Lord to make them blind so they could not see. And he led them into the midst of Samaria. So he deceived them. What do we read? We read about Joshua. And not only did Joshua do this, but the Lord told him how to do it. The Lord said to him, then have your men retreat. Have them run away as if they are being defeated. And you will draw the men of Ai out of the city. And then you can come with your ambushments behind them, thus to deceive them. May I do that then? That is a very difficult question. We don't know how to give you an answer to this. Some people say yes. Some people say we may do this because the evil that we are trying to be rid of, that is greater than that evil of lying. And that these people, when they want to do us harm, they are not worthy to know the truth. But let us be careful, because it is one thing not to say, and it is another thing to lie and to deceive. And what the Lord is doing himself by his own hand is not necessarily what you and I may do. Not everything that is written in the Word of God is written for our imitation. When it would be right for me always to question, are you worthy? Are you worthy to know the truth? what kind of world would we live in? Because then I may deceive you as long as I feel you are not worthy to know the truth, and you may do that to me too. And when I look you in the eye, I never know if you tell me the truth or you tell me a lie. And then we end in a world as Jeremiah did say of Israel, that no one could trust his brother, that everyone was walking in a way of deceit. No, our obligation is to truth that is not bound to our situation, but our obligation to truth that lies higher. It is lying in Him who has also the control over every circumstance of our life. And because our obligation is to Him, that is why that lie is so serious. But we want to consider that after we sing. Psalter 25, 1 through 4. Lord, who shall come to Thee and stand before Thy face? Who shall abide a welcome guest within Thy holy place? Psalter number 25, all stanzas. Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Verse 10, then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. What does it speak about? It speaks about our third thought, that is, the seriousness of this lie. There was a warning for the whole church in that time, and a warning for you and for me. Peter says, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Thus to lie, congregation, that is to tempt. To tempt the Spirit of the Lord. Always remember that, young people, boys and girls. Then we tempt God with our lies. What do we say? Is he really omniscient? Does he really know everything? Does he really hear what I say? Does he really know what is in my heart? Is he really omnipotent? Is he really all-powerful? Is he really just and righteous? Or is it not a wonder? When we tempt the Spirit of the Lord in such a way that the Lord does not do with us as he has done with Ananias and Sapphira. Congregation, how loathsome, loathsome, loathsome ought the lie to be to you and me. In paradise, we followed the liar, and where did it bring us? It brought us into the dust of death. Ananias and Sapphira lied just to receive a little bit of honor from men, which means nothing. Oh, how high ought you and I to hold truth, truthfulness, veracity. Veracity is the mother of all virtues, the basis, the foundation. You cannot have goodness, kindness, love without truth. You cannot have any holiness. The Lord, he says, sanctify them, cleanse them through thy truth. Or truthfulness, that is the most important thing to teach our children in our homes and in our school. Truthfulness, that is the basis of all our communicated knowledge. All the knowledge that we receive from one another that we don't learn by our own experience. That is most of our knowledge. But if we could not believe one another because of falsehood, then we could not receive communicated knowledge. Therefore, it is the basis of our education. The basis of all that our teachers are trying to do in the school. It is the basis of all the progress that any civilization can make. The fathers unto the children have made known thy truth. If that was not so, what would happen to truth? Then it would die with the fathers. Truthfulness, that is the basis of all the relations that we can have in our social life. All of the confidence that we can have with one another. Satan seeks to break it down. But if you could not trust your chef, would you eat? If he was full of falsehood? And your doctor? And so we can go on and on. Can we have a government? No. Can we have a ruler? He can trust no one to do as he says. There is no truth. David and Jonathan cannot be friends when they cannot confide in one another. There is no truth in hell. They're with the father of lies, and therefore no confidence and eternal misery. Oh, how important that truthfulness, veracity ought to be to you and me. There would never, congregation, have been a martyr on the earth if men did not hold truth higher than their own life itself. They died for truth. And why did men die for truth? Because truth, that is the basis, it is the foundation of all true religion, and it is the basis of salvation itself. What did the Lord Jesus say? He says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Truth. Knowledge you cannot have without truth. But what is knowledge? Knowledge is salvation. What did the Lord Jesus say? This is life eternal. This is life eternal. What? That they might know knowledge, that they might know thee, the only true God, whom thou and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Is it any wonder that the devil is busy? Is it any wonder that the devil wants to overthrow all truth? Is it any wonder that the devil is tempting us every day to the lie? But this is the reason that men have given their life for the truth. That is the reason that Solomon says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." But what will we sell it for? Ananias and Sapphira, they sold it for a little bit of honor. A little bit of honor from men. Congregation, is that truth more precious than honor? Is the truth more precious than our wealth? The Word of God says a poor man is better than a liar. Is the truth more precious than our business? Is the truth more precious than all our social relations in this world? Is the truth more precious than our life itself? The Lord Jesus did not always speak, but when he spoke the truth. And then at the expense of what? His own life. He would for truth undergo suffering. He would for truth undergo death. Is there then a lie ready in our right hand? Over the smallest point of honor, over the smallest point of embarrassment in this life, or if we cannot endure a little mockery in this world, how shall we die for truth? The lip of truth that is going to be established, we read, forever, but a lying tongue that is but for a moment. Congregation, who can now, you, me, put our hand into our bosom and not take our hand out completely leprous? We are not liars because we lie, but we lie because we are liars. That's what we have become in our deep fall. And John says that if any man say that he has not sinned, then we make him a liar. That is the God of truth. Congregation, are there then none this day who feel their need for blood? Are there then none that have guilt? Guilt that needs to be forgiven before the God of truth? Are there none that have sorrow over that wretched, wretched nature wherein is no truthfulness of itself? Are there none that would say, "Lord, thou art righteous to condemn this liar to that eternal place where that father of lies does live"? Or are there none that need to be forgiven, that need to be washed, that need to be cleansed? Does he then not say to you, come, let us reason together? Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, is that how it is? Red like crimson with the lie? Or he says, come. Come, he says, and I will make them as white as the wool. Is that not the reason he came? That he came and left the place of glory with his Father to suffer and to die for hell-worthy sinners? Did he not pray to his Father? Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Did he not pray to his Father that for their sakes I do sanctify them, that they may be sanctified through thy truth, because they cannot sanctify themselves? Is that true? That you cannot sanctify, that you cannot cleanse your heart of the lie? Or will he retreat congregation from his own word? Him that made heaven and earth and all that is therein, and who keepeth truth forever? Or is there no need? No need. Thou hast not lied to men, but thou hast lied unto God. Is there no need for blood? Or is he not then precious? Is he then not necessary? Is he then not suitable for us? Congregation, on the other hand, what did Paul say to the Galatians? He says, am I become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. And what do we have to tell you this morning? That you are a liar. And we include ourselves. We are liars. And what do we do with this? By nature, we rebel against this. We go out of here as the Pharisees. And the Pharisees rebelled when the Lord Jesus told them that they were liars. Oh, the Lord, keep us from their sin. And the Lord, keep us also from their portion, especially when today is at hand, yet a remedy. A remedy for the chiefest of the sinners. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O instruct us in our wretchedness, in our sin, not only of our actions and deeds, but of all the wretchedness that lies in our hearts. O give that our consciences may speak so loudly, and that thy Spirit may bring that word into our heart this day. Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. O make us the guilty one. Lord, thy dear Son, O make him precious to us. O raise him up in our esteem. O give that there may be those who may flee to him. And while it is still a day of grace and a time of salvation, forgive all our many, many sins in speaking and in listening. Dismiss us with thy blessing, and bring us with desire in thy house once more this afternoon hour. For Jesus' sake, amen. Psalter 140, all stanzas. God be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea, plenteous in compassion thou. Blot out my transgressions now. Wash me, make me pure within. Cleanse, oh, cleanse me from my sin. 1-4 of Psalter 140.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.